If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
Welcome into Love of the Star as we are live here at Cowboys Training Camp in Oxnard, California. Zach Wolchuk alongside Eric Chiafalo. We will have the Super Bowl winning scout Brian Bronis joining us just momentarily. He's, of course, sourcing his balls off right now. He's on the phone, probably figuring out more information on this Cowboys new corner that they did go ahead and sign today. Is, man, we have just had a ton of injury news, Eric. I mean, the Cowboys dodging a big time bullet yesterday in what was just a crazy hour long sequence where we thought, oh no, is Tyler Guyton now going to be out for the season? Does he have a torn ACL? That doesn't end up being the case. Thank goodness we still might have the possibility of Tyler Guyton being able to play week one in the season opener against the Eagles, as the MRI showing that the ACL still intact for Tyler Guyton. Instead, it's just he suffered a bone fracture. So that's going to sideline him at least 1 to 2 months. But when we found that out, you know, towards the end of the G-Bag Nation yesterday, when you took a video of my reaction, it was just such a bummer because I thought Tyler Guyton, in getting out here for day two of the padded practice, had himself a hell of a day. I thought he was really battling Sam Williams well. I thought he countered Donovan Ezeraku, who's been an absolute star out here at camp. But you can just see with our own eyes, just in one practice, the growth from Tyler Guyton from a year ago out here on the practice fields to now. I mean, just with his pass sets, with his ability now to be the aggressor as an offensive lineman. I mean, dodging a huge, huge bullet there as we got the Super Bowl winning scout Brian Bronis joining us now. But yeah, I mean, Eric, I'll go to you first here. But I mean, that was just a massive sigh of relief to find out, Tyler, this isn't a season ender.
Yeah, that was huge. We got the Rappaport initial report, and it was that they were fearing the ACL, waiting for the MRI. And credit and kudos to our very own Brian Bronis, who in real time was like, all right, let me try and iron this thing out here. What the heck is going on? He's sourcing his tail off, and next thing you know, he's like, hold your horses, nothing confirmed there.
Oh, Eric muted himself there. He does have a tendency to do this on accident from time to time.
Son
but yes
gun, bro.
It's all good, but brother, it's all good. I saw the red light pop on.
Just a big credit to Bronis. That's really all this is.
Well, thank you, I appreciate that. You know, I'm going to say this, that I really do believe in trying to kind of get to the bottom of things. And I've been on the other end of this where, you know, let's wait for the MRIs and things like that. I think that was something that that I know just, and I was dealing with Vach Lombardi, and Vach said that he saw Guyton walking back to his room, and he, you know, just a slight limp and all that, carrying a backpack and everything. It, you know, wasn't like he was getting carted or on crutches or had a brace or anything like that. And yeah, you could probably walk around with the ACL the way it is and stuff, but Vach really kind of like said, hey, I saw him walking. And I said, well, let's figure this out if this is really the case. And as we kind of worked through some things, my sources were telling me, hey, it's, we don't know yet. And then a little bit later, a couple hours later, they got the MRI back, and it was the bone problem. And, you know, and so 4 to 6 weeks, and there's kind of thought that maybe he might be ready for the first game. So we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. But it started off as a very, very kind of somber situation with losing a guy who's had a really good camp so far.
Yeah, and I thought yesterday, as I started, you know, was a really strong day. First day that, you know, Eric and I have been out here and got to see him. But I know you and Vach has really had a great eye on the offensive lineman his entire time out here at camp, and he flew back to the Dallas area today. But, I mean, it really was. It's been a strong camp, and we know from the offseason, you know, Tyler Guyton's been putting in the work. And he and this is a guy that we've said on our show on the G-Bag Nation, and I think, Brian, you know, you and I getting to do the draft show, and that's been an absolute blessing and a dream come true getting to do that with you. But I think that maybe we failed a little bit. I'll say this from my standpoint, that maybe we put the fans having an unfair expectation on what Tyler Guyton could be, based on the plug and play aspect from a lot of other offensive linemen that the Cowboys have drafted and the instant success. And this was not one of those players that had had quite the same resume in terms of amount of games played, being a lot more raw, being a lot more of a developmental type of player. So it shouldn't have really been a shock last year that he needed to grow, and he went through some growing pains. But I'm excited about the future. Now the question will be, and we'll get to see, you know, the Cowboys off today as we're recording on a Tuesday, but who's the first guy that gets to take over those reps? You know, is that going to be Awesome Richards? Is that going to be Nate Thomas, who I think is actually looked pretty good yesterday? There was a time he was a little slow out of his stance against Donovan as a rookie, who's just been giving everybody fits. But I was actually pretty impressed with some of the reps that I saw from Nate Thomas. Could it be Hakeem Adeniji, who they brought in, that's been, you know, obviously with Cincinnati and a couple of other teams, Cleveland being one? He's played more right tackle. Do they move him to the left? It's going to be interesting. I know a lot of fans instantly were saying, hey, Tyler Smith, you got to move him. But I love you were making and your thoughts on this, Brian, about that core three in the middle. Keep that intact.
Yeah, the core three is going to be, from what I've seen through six practices of running the football, how well this team runs the football scheme is going to be important, but also it's going to be the three inside guys. The tackles are going to have to be able to reach. They're going to have to be able to cut off. They're going to have to be able to work with the guards at times, but they're going to have to be able to maybe a lot of single blocking going on there. But it's going to be about the inside three. I am not moving Tyler Smith. I got to keep him at the left guard spot. He's working well with BB. Booker is a big, powerful guy as well. Where Dallas has had some success running the ball at these practices is they've been able to kind of control the inside three. And so with that being said, that's how I think they're going to go about it. I don't see them moving the guy. They're going to figure out the tackle spot. They've been playing left and right. They really haven't been flip-flopping. But as you mentioned, Adeniji has done a nice job. When Steele was out, there was not this huge drop-off. It wasn't like what we've seen in the past with some of the guys in the past, these backup offensive linemen that have come in and they just have not got the job done. And when always Chaz Green comes to my mind, but that was just a bad game for Chaz Green. But that type of level play where all of a sudden you see a complete drop off there, and that really hasn't been the case at all.
Yeah, and I mean, Eric, I know you saw Tyler Booker just driving Mozzie Smith into the ground yesterday, but the power, and really, you know, object one is the priority, win your division. And you look at the strength within the NFC East, it is mainly the interior pass rusher, specifically Jalen Carter, of course, Jordan Davis with the Eagles, Dexter Lawrence with the Giants. You've always had to deal with guys like Daron Payne in Washington. Now the Giants might have a pretty lethal pass rush on the edge as well, but can you find a way to neutralize those studs in the middle? And I don't think, Eric, the Cowboys have any interest in moving Tyler Smith.
No, I don't think they do either. And I don't think Tyler Smith has much interest in moving either. Not that he wouldn't if they were really trying to force that, but I think everybody's on the same page that they want to keep those three interior beasts with Booker and BB and Smith all together right there. And one of the things, when you look at all the different, with the way they want to go under center and do the play action stuff, and even just like the quick passing game, like having that interior pocket being as steady of a force as possible, I think is huge. And that was one of the big standouts to me yesterday, just through one padded practice that we got to really watch. Of course, you love seeing Dak go deep to Pickens and finally getting that thing unlocked a little bit. But a lot of the play action stuff, the boots and waggles that Broadus always loves, but the quick passing game, and with their bunch sets and a lot of the condensed stuff where they're quick, boom, getting it out to Turpin. And it's one air yard basically of a pass, and it goes for 10 because Turpin is that kind of guy. And you're just having things from a schematic standpoint and the blocking aspect of the wide receivers all coming into play. So I think it makes a ton of sense. I'm bummed that we're not going to just get to see the continual growth here throughout camp of Tyler Guyton, but I am confident that the other four are going to be able to get it done at a high level, and you can help out a tackle. You got one guy, you need to help out. You can do things to do, to keep him healthy a little bit.
Now, a couple other unfortunate injury news. If you've missed and this happened over the weekend as well. Paris Campbell, who I think, you know, some Cowboy fans might be like, oh, Paris Campbell's on the team. He reportedly has an MCL sprain. That is a bummer there. And, you know, Brian, was he a guy that was flashing at all last week, the first week of practice to you?
Not really. Had a deep ball opportunity and it was too far. And so it was going to be an uphill battle for him. He's a veteran player, but if you look at, geez, if right now it looks like an uphill battle for Tolbert, you know, with what's going on with Mingo and others. I mean, they're finally Flournoy has shown up a little bit here. Cropper's had some opportunities. These guys are going to get a lot more work when this thing gets to the preseason games and stuff like that. But it's good to see Flournoy step up with Campbell. That, you know, it was really kind of fleeting in between some of the plays and some of the opportunities that he really got in these practices.
Ankle injury for Brevin Spanford, who has emerged as tight end two, taken over for Scooney. And that's also one that's a setback, having an absolutely outstanding camp, but fortunately will probably be back for the regular season when games count. But you hate that for Brevin Spanford, especially with Clayton Adams. I mean, you knew this in Arizona. He likes to use 12, maybe even 13 personnel where he's got multiple tight ends on the field. But Brevin Spanford, I think, is going to have a huge role within this offense. And now I think Hunter Lipke is a guy that at least yesterday was getting a lot of run and a lot of reps in practice, Brian.
Yeah, he absolutely was. And I think to me that, you know, the thing with Spanford that's been really encouraging, you know, so far with him is that he looks really comfortable catching the football. And you've seen him, some of the stuff along the sidelines, down the middle of the field, the adjusting touchdown catch he had with Joe Milton throwing the ball over the top and him going up and really high pointing the football. Hand placement much better, footwork much better. Everything about him is, it's like his off season was spent, you know, trying to get better and become more comfortable catching the football. And it's shown up in these practices that he's got to participate in.
Kalen Carson, hyperextended knee. He's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks as the Cowboys cornerback room gets even thinner. Now, the Cowboys did add Christian Matthew. They worked out several corners yesterday. Matthew, seventh round pick in 2022 by the Cardinals. He was already 25 years old when he was drafted, so he was one of the older players. He's 6'2", reportedly had a 41.5-inch vert, 4.5 40-yard dash, made the Cardinals roster as a rookie, played 14 games, 3 starts, and then he did play with Matt Eberflus in Chicago in the following season. He had 2 appearances for the Bears, mainly played just on special teams there, so also spent some time with the Ravens. But you got to think this is more of a camp body right now. Now, one of the guys that, you know, fellas, and Eric, I think, yeah, I talked with you about this yesterday after practice, Zion Childress really stood out to me yesterday, made some plays. And Matt Eberflus is doing some stuff where he is showing a lot more blitzes, is kind of taking over that double A gap. We're kind of mugging the middle there from Zim, but he also had the corner slot, the slot corner blitz from Childress. But I thought Childress did a good job in coverage, broke up a couple of passes. Maybe he's a guy now that can step up in that role. But, you know, Eric, I feel like I'm going to make the bold prediction. We're going to get a Stephon Gilmore signing here within the next week.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I thought this would have been the time for it when you lose a Carson like that and you just got, you're so thin back there. You would feel like you want to get somebody who can step in and actually be a guy that, you know, can play football on Sundays, unlike this, this Christian Matthew fellow who's just really taking a flyer. And, like you said, maybe more of a camp body. So I could totally see it. I mean, there's a handful of guys out there. You have Rasul Douglas, who's still out there at the cornerback spot. You have the Asante Samuel Juniors of the world, but I think Stephon Gilmore would make a ton of sense. I wonder what type of deal he's probably got a line in the sand of like, I've made plenty of money. I don't have to play unless I'm making X amount of dollars. And we know how frugal the Cowboys can be on this front. So I think that would be the main thing that would hold it up is just, hey, he wants $5-6 million and they're not even trying to touch it.
What do you think there, Brian? Am I foolish? Is this a foolish, bold prediction?
No, I mean, I think they're going to start really looking at some of these corners. They've been encouraged though by, you know, you mentioned, you know, with the guys that have played. I mean, I even seen Booth play a little bit. I just, if I could circle back on Carson, that one is a real shame. And, you know, he was an outstanding player coming out of Wake Forest. I know we talked about him a bunch on the draft show. We were very encouraged by him. He has just been in a situation where every time he takes, you know, was it the old saying, one step forward, two steps back, he just cannot stay healthy. And when they need him to be healthy, he hasn't, you know, injuries are a part of it. But here, back-to-back training camps now where all of a sudden he has been a guy that they used as the second corner, and now he's going to be gone for 4 to 6 weeks with this knee injury. And then, you know, how far behind is he going to fall? I mean, they've been really fortunate that some of the young guys that we really didn't even think were going to show up have actually shown up. And it's not playing against down the line receivers. They've done a good job against the Pickens and the Lambs and people like that. So is it something you feel really great about? Yeah, I feel good about what Hall's been able to, and hasn't practiced at all. I mean, he's been gone because of the birth of his child. So some guys have had to step up, but man, it's a very, very thin group right now. So I think that maybe that where we're thinking right now, as far as adding guys and stuff, that that they might be getting to that point where they're going to start running some guys through here and check it out for sure, because they're getting a little thin at the position.
Last thing I wanted to hit before we can talk about practice, some of the contract stuff, then we'll move into our Dean Julia mailbag to close it out, and appreciate everybody who gave us some awesome feedback, some negative, but mostly awesome feedback on our surveys that we did with the Love of the Star. And you can always go check out the merch as well that we've got, as Eric's wearing that Love of the Star shirt. But, you know, Bobby brought this up, Bobby Bell, former host of Love of the Star on our morning show with Sean and RJ, that for the first six practices the last 3 years under Mike McCarthy, Cowboys had a total of 9 injuries. They've had 9 injuries in the first 6 practices this season alone. Now, my initial reaction, and I wonder, Brian, you know, being a lifer and seeing plenty of different coaches and how they handle training camp, it's a shame. Injuries happen in football. I have not noticed anything other than, you know, specifically the 11 on 11 and wanting more physical practice. Even some of the clips we were able to see before we got out here, it did seem like, you know, even with shells on, the team was practicing physical. But I think one thing that we've talked about this team is soft front runners. They need to build more of a toughness and mental mentality. And to me, injuries are a part of the game and they suck and you don't want it to happen. But I'm not going to overreact to a slew of injuries that have happened over the first 6 practices here in Oxnard. It's a massive bummer, but I don't know that it's necessarily anything Brian Schottenheimer has done that has caused that. I don't know if you have a differing opinion on that, Brian.
No, I absolutely appreciate the way he's practiced, and I think some of the injuries have been just absolute bad luck, you know, and when you start to talk about your running plays and a guy loses his balance, he goes into the back of the legs of another guy. That happens in practice. And so you have to be able to kind of work through those things. But I think the way that the team is practicing, I think it's shown some really, I was curious, like, okay, how are they going to work on the running game when they don't practice 9-on-7? 9-on-7 has been a staple of football for a long time. And all of a sudden, this guy comes out and he runs the first 10 plays. He runs the ball 9 times in an 11-on-11 period. He's trying his best to get this team physically ready to have to play at a higher level when it comes to that physicality. So injuries are a part of it. I mean, people are dealing with these. I think they've caught a couple of breaks. I think they caught a break on Span 4. That could have been a really ugly thing. And they caught a break on Tyler Guyton. So, you know, I think the football gods are kind of saying, okay, keep practicing. And we'll see how it ends up at the end of the day. But they've been very fortunate with a couple of injuries that initially looked very, very difficult, that might be season enders for sure.
You are listening to the Love of the Star podcast. Love of the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.